I love the memories of mothers, by mothers, and about mothers. Do you have any memories you want to share today? Well, we love those Mother's Day stories and mother's stories. They fill us with joy and tears, and we so appreciate them in our lives. I learned some years ago that my parents had a dispute. I learned this later. They both supported me becoming a Boy Scout. And it was Troop 511 in Columbus. That was fine. But when I came home and said, I'm 11 years old, and I want to go hiking in Hocking County, and we're going to walk 10 miles the first day, stay all night at Tinker's Cave, walk 10 miles the second day, my dad said, no, you're not going to do that. And I learned years later that that was a discussion on the pillow, from pillow to pillow that night. And in the morning, my mother said, yes, Dad said you can do it. And then I went down and with the troop, a new young scout, 11 years old, did the hiking, did the camping, and my mother could not sleep that entire night, worrying about me, and was so happy to see me come home. And then I learned that as I spent over 50 nights a year, quite often down at Tinker's Cave and down the Wilderness Trace hiking, my mother always stayed up those nights awake and worrying. But great memories of our mothers. Today, we're looking at the entrance to glory. And I want to take us to the book of Genesis, because this is Gate Sunday. We call it Good Shepherd Sunday, but in the beginning of this, John starts talking about the gate. And so we want to look at some gates. There are so many gates in the scripture. The Hebrew scriptures are just filled with mentioning of gates throughout the towns and travels. And of course, there's that gate of Jacob. We all know the story of Jacob's ladder, and we sing the hymn, but if you follow that passage, you quickly come to not the story of Jacob and the glory, but it's the raping of his daughter Dinah, and where someone had broken through the gate, and then his sons going and finding Shechem, who was the one who had violated her. The gate is also a beautiful thing. Here's, in Exodus, a description of a gate. For the gate of the court there shall be a screen, 20 cubits long, a blue, purple, and crimson yarns, and fine twisted linen, embroidered with needlework. It shall have four pillars, and with them four bases. That's when they were going to build the big first tabernacle. A gate. In the book of Joshua, it is noted that gates of the city were opened and closed, especially for the night. At times in the Bible, the king is sitting in the gate. At other times, it's not the king, but it's a homeless person or a leper or someone wounded. Yes, the gate is an Old Testament with the development of civilization. Here's some names of the gates: the foundation gate of Jerusalem, the fish gate, the Ephraim gate, the corner gate, the valley gate, the dung gate. That one doesn't smell too good, I'm sure. The fountain gate. And here's a gate that everybody knows is going to sound familiar: water gate, house gate, east gate, muster gate, sheep gate, old gate, Benjamin gate, corner gate, Damascus gate, and beautiful gate. Didn't have a mother's gate, probably should have had one. That would have been good. In addition to the gate, there is the gatekeeper. The gatekeeper. And in the Old Testament, we learn that 1/3 of all of the priests and the Levites were assigned to be gatekeepers. 1/3 of them. And there were 4,000 gatekeepers. And then on the Sabbath, 1/3 of that 4,000 would be assigned as gatekeepers. That was a lot of people protecting the gates, opening the gates and closing the gates and letting people into Jerusalem and into the temple. Lots of gates. So when Jesus starts talking about the gate and makes the declaration that I am the gate, I am the gate, he knew of a history about the gates. And then he also knew about the gatekeeper. So what becomes the task of Christians in the world? To recognize, first of all, our gate. That Jesus is the gate. And here comes some of the ancient gates that we need to share. The Jerusalem gates, some of those. Now remember, these are not the actual gates. These are built in the 7th century. But that's a popular gate today. And there's one of the gates in Jerusalem. And some of the gates in Jerusalem are inside and some are outside the city. So there are many gates. And of course, I've told the story before that that gate is the gate that the Muslim world believes that Muhammad will return through that gate to the world, back to the earth in Jerusalem. And there's more inside gates. So gates, the ancient gate is popular. And then there's today's gate. And what is that gate? That's that wall in the west that now separates Israel from Palestine. And of course, there are guards at the top. And of course, Rebecca can tell you stories about being at the top of being there at one of those gates like that. And the guards are up there, and cell phone rings, and it's a call from here. Our daughter-in-law is calling us. We're in Jerusalem, and there's guards up above with guns pointed at us. So she kept trying to tell her daughter, and our daughter, oh, we're having a great time, but we're looking up there. So, but gates are so valuable to us. And then gates in our life, gates in our memories, gates are important for us. And notice that all these gates that we see are closed. And in the cities where they had gates, they would be open in the day and closed at night unless they needed to protect them. And of course, someone who likes cattle and horses, we need that kind of gate. And then there's the gate that protects the car, keeps the car from driving through. So gates are in our lives. I don't know if you have a favorite gate memory, as you had a favorite memory about your mother. Maybe there's a great memory. I remember when we were young, a young couple, and we had our first child. We were in Chicago. I just purchased our first home. And We had a nice backyard, but there was no gate, and our little four-year-old could so easily escape to the street, and his mother said, "We've got to have a gate." And she might think the story is a little bit different than I do. You can ask her later. I don't know. But we said, okay, we'll get a gate. So I thought about buying a gate, and there's, we'll make a gate. So we got the wood, and we started making the gate, and then I made a little jungle gym with, you know, he could do the monkey bars and down the slide, and had a gate. How were we going to pay for all that? We had enough money to buy groceries, and I took off my high school ring and cashed it in, and we paid for that, and it worked for our boy for a year or two, and he still found his way out to the sidewalk. But we have great memories, even of gates in our lives, of gates. So what about, how does that apply to us? It's our task, it's your task, it's my task to know that as we look at a gate, that Jesus says, "I am the gate." Does that mean Jesus is in every gate like the pictures we saw up there? Or is that a different gate? But Jesus is that gate in our lives that is there to be opened for us to venture forth and to follow in the steps of Jesus. It is the one that's talking about salvation. It's the one that's talking about love. It's the one that's talking about hope. It's the one that's talking about joy. But sometimes that gate needs to be closed too, because there are gatekeepers in this world. And all of you know what a gatekeeper is, I think. Even as a pastor, you have businesses and professors and any CEO or any person that ever runs an office, there's a gatekeeper. We got a gatekeeper here. She's our church secretary. That's part of her job. When that business calls up and wants to sell the church something, she knows whether to say, "Here, talk to the pastor," or don't. And most secretaries know such things. I knew that in my last church, two secretaries, they were real good at protecting anybody in the leadership of the church, because their sales calls came all the time. But then because they had that dinner on Sunday evening and serving hundreds of people meals, you would get calls all week about someone who wanted some money from the church or some more food or more help. And how do we differentiate that? We didn't have the capacity to serve all those people because everything went to Sunday night serving them. So every once in a while, we would decide, she got to open that gate and let me go talk with them and serve them and take care of them. And one day it was a soldier, a man who declared, "I'm a soldier and I'm here visiting short time before I go back and be deployed again." And he said, "But I'm broke." I said, "Oh, well, we can solve this one." So I took him I knew the place. I knew the chaplain, the priest at the Catholic Church had been a chaplain, and I knew he knew the whole system. He could quickly tell if the man was being honest and asking for something for real, and he was able to do that, and we were to help a soldier. So we opened the gate. Here in the church, we've got a lot of gatekeepers. Not just the one in the office. We are gatekeepers. Good and bad. Some of us are gatekeepers and won't let certain people in. If we can make the decision. You know, we only want our friends and people like us in the church. We've got to know how to break that. Yes, Jesus is saying we need a gatekeeper. But he's also saying, "I'm the gate. So don't deny that person me in the gate." So where do you fit in? We all say we need to grow, we need to have more children. But I, in my church that I grew and it took off and thriving, we started with 25 people and we're thriving and we're growing and we're about 80 in attendance, and the gatekeepers got all upset. It was okay to bring in that family with two kids down the road, but don't dare bring in that family who's on mother, single mother on welfare. They threw fits over that. Gatekeepers. Jesus says, yes, there are gatekeepers, but those gatekeepers are to protect us, not to simply defend our incorrect thoughts. I love gatekeeping stories and motherhood stories. I remember it wasn't an outside gate, it was an indoor place. Before I had ever heard of C.S. Lewis and his books for children, my grandmother, when we would, it was one of the favorite places, both grandmothers were favorite places to visit. And we would go up to her bathroom on the second floor, the one in Grandview, Ohio. And beside the bathroom was a door about this high. It fit us children just perfect. This is a children's door. So we could walk in there. And there was a wraparound closet behind the bathtub and the shower. And when we got big enough and brave enough to go in there, we discovered that Grandma had stored all the things from the Depression in there that had to be kept in case they were ever needed again. So when I was old enough to know what a pair of long johns were, I'm in there and I find this pair of long johns. I said, wow, long johns. Bring them out to my mother. She said, those were your Uncle Martin's. And she said, they'll probably fit you. Take them home. And I had my first pair. But we went inside that door and looked around. There was a round little window to look outside. But it became a precious gate to me because in my dreams at night, I would dream that if you went through that little door and went around through the closet, at the other end, there was another door. And I would go through that door, and we would enter into a huge mansion with beautiful statues, ancient statues of human beings and lions and just a beautiful place, and the food was just phenomenal. We would eat and eat and eat all the sweet things we ever wanted. And we would go out through the back door and out through the gate, and it was just a beautiful place to travel through. Until one day, we're out there, and there was a rat. Scared my sisters to death in my dream. But the lion came and protected us and took care of the rat. We would go back up to the house in through Grandma's door and through the wraparound closet. This is a dream now. And come out, and my mother would welcome us. You see, mothers are the best gatekeepers. It's their job, and they do it so well, to know that when we're talking about faith and love and hope and growing up as caring people that have a spiritual life, that a mother is so often dedicated to that. And they know that here's Jesus, and let's get you through that gate. In times of need, times of joy, in times of loving. So on Mother's Day, we celebrate the gate, the Good Shepherd, and the love of our mothers. Amen.